Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Come on, you know how bad it has to get for them to actually miss the postseason? Think about it. They missed the postseason with 83 wins. Had they won 80 on a tiebreaker, had they won 84 games, they'd be in the postseason. So then I did get off the ship doing the math with 10 games to go. Either way, whether you want to term it a collapse or the worst team money could buy or the second worst team money could buy, for me, BT, it is after the offseason, after the hope, the excitement, the new direction, the expanded postseason, the way that they started the year, it is unquestionably, in my mind, the most embarrassing season that the New York Mets have ever had.
It's one of the, to me, it's one of the, it's got to be the most stunning disintegration of any New York sports team I've ever seen. Now, there's been other collapses, some with the Mets, some with other teams as well, but the fluctuation from the high points where the Mets looked at points like the best team in baseball to the inability to score a run yesterday against the Marlins when the Reds lose. It is like we're going to tell this story 15, 20, 30 years from now, and if you didn't live through it, I don't know that you're going to really believe it. It's unacceptable. It's horrible for Met fans. Met fans have been amazing this year. Met fans are always amazing, but particularly going out and following this team and supporting this team and giving the money to the team like Cohen implored you to do. You did your job. Steve Cohen did his job. Not enough people did their job. What an absolute mess.
And think about it this way. Like, we'll get to, well, what needs to happen and what you would do. Nobody has any answers as to why this happened. It's not just, well, the starting pitching fell apart. Yeah, that's a big part of it, but that's not the singular reason. They couldn't hit with runners in scoring position all year long. Obviously, this last weekend, like yesterday, I was like, oh, man, how are they going to get through this game with Manaea especially? It wasn't the problem. They didn't score a run. They didn't score. Big Ben, Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, McNeil, get him out. Get McNeil out. I'm tired of watching Jeff McNeil. All of them. So it's not just the pitching. Like, obviously the pitching is bad. The bullpen is bad. Stearns, to me, is the main culprit. We can break it down. Mm-hmm. But even in just one weekend where all you had to do is take 2 out of 3 from the Marlins, or go back to last weekend, all you had to do is take 2 out of 3 against the lowly Washington Nationals. And you couldn't even do that. So it's not just, well, it's the pitching. Well, it's this. Well, it's that. They had these guys stay healthy and all have career years. And they still couldn't beat the Cincinnati Reds out in an expanded playoff. That is as embarrassing as it gets for a team that is embarrassing themselves for years since its inception. It became accepted. It's like the rare time that they actually made the playoffs. Wow, congrats, the Mets have made the playoffs. We've talked about it a million times. They've made the playoffs consecutive years in their history twice. This is supposed to be a layup. So much so that even if they made the playoffs, I wouldn't have been happy. Just making the, even last year, I said the same thing. Well, if they make it, who cares? Now they went on a little bit of a run, so that overlooked a lot of the other real issues here. This, to me, would have been unacceptable even if they got in as a 6 seed. Unacceptable! How does this happen? How the hell does this team, with that payroll and that talent, lose out on a tiebreaker with 83 wins in the 6 seed in the National League to the Cincinnati Reds? I don't understand.
The easy answer is the pitching. That's too easy, and I don't think that that's the only answer. I think it's the core, which you've talked about for a while. Last year's team was defined by character and clutchness. If you really think about that, right? Pete's clutch home run, Lindor against Atlanta, the character throughout, the chemistry. This year, it really seemed to be the exact opposite. They weren't clutch, and the average in the stats with runners in scoring position, all the things we thought, the inability to cut, they were 0-67 entering the last inning with a deficit, so they were the absolute opposite of being clutch. And to me, every time their character was really tested, they failed. And like, not only did this to me is the most unforgivable aspect of this Mets implosion, collapse, disintegration, whatever the word we're going to use is, right? They didn't seem to resist it with like the vigor and the fight and the character and the respect for their jobs that I think we all thought that they had. Now, I'm not saying that they wanted to lose. I don't believe that at all. I think if you believe that, I think you're an idiot. They did not want to lose. But their desire to win, their desire to forge through and fight through any impediment that came their way, it was non-existent. And when you see that, I've got to look at the leader, whether it's the so-called captain, whether it's the goofy first baseman, whether it's the amazing right fielder who didn't seem to really care if they won or lost, whether it's the manager who told us the same damn thing after every single loss. We're too talented. We've got talent. We got to figure this out. We should be better. You're not. And you weren't. And to me, it's not just baseball stuff. This Mets team, this is a bigger issue, I grant you that. This team, if I had a wrecking ball, I would take it and I would smash this piece into 100 pieces and start over outside of Soto, McClain, maybe one or two other pieces. It is time to switch it all up. They're not good enough, and if they stay together, they're never going to be good enough.
But BT, if they were to get in, they would have been dangerous.
Yeah, well,
nobody wants to play the Mets. Nah. Nobody wants to play you. Hey, Brandon, you're right. Nobody wants to play you. Now nobody has to. Nobody has to. You're home. You guys embarrass yourself. I mean, that is as embarrassing as you. Bad seasons happen. Underperformance happens. Injuries happen. Dude, we had a similar conversation, you and I, when we first put together in 2023. Whereas in 2022, the Mets collapsed. That to me was, maybe the collapse is a little strong, but they blew that division. That division was theirs for taking.
No
difference
question.
Is Braves came and got them. But I had an issue with that core after they got beat, when they got swept by Atlanta, and then got embarrassed, you know, went feebly in the postseason.
Padres.
Then they washed it down with a year that they didn't make the postseason, which I was stunned. Maybe I shouldn't have been, but I was surprised at that point. For a couple of reasons, like the payroll, the expanded postseason, like there really shouldn't be an excuse for missing the postseason when you spend as much as the New York Mets. But it doesn't mean that spending equals wins. Clearly it doesn't. But to make the postseason, that's not, like, that's bare minimum. They didn't. Then they followed up with a very good 2024 season. Okay, even if the first half of the season looked awful, they still followed up and we know the results. And now this. So to me, I think they're more of the bad that we've seen from 2022 throughout than they are the good. The one run that they went on last year, the miraculous run, that's the outlier. So I don't disagree. And now I was saying this for years, like, break up the core. It's been different guys over the course of this. But then when they started to have success, I'm like, you know what? I can't fight it anymore. Mm-hmm. They were great last year. You have to give them the benefit of the doubt. They started out this season. They were. They didn't just start out like the best team in baseball. They were the best team in baseball on that June 13th or whatever that day. They were the best team in baseball. And to fall apart like this, like, that's why I use the word embarrassing. They won 83 games, so it's not the worst team in franchise history. Their main four guys put up big numbers, so it's not like all of them underperformed or disastrous contracts. But as a team, they should be ashamed of themselves. And as a fan, to me, it's maybe not the most painful, but certainly the most embarrassing.
But I think, now again, I'm not a Mets fan, so I can't really speak to the pain. I can just speak to the situation. But, you know, try to just juxtapose the emotions. If it were my team, I almost feel that it would be the most painful because it was so painfully drawn out.
Well, it was a horrible season.
It was drawn out. Yeah. I mean, it was week upon week upon week upon week of bullpen implosion, kicking the ball around, which suddenly crept up the final couple of weeks of the season. And it was death by a little teeny, tiny million slices, which is a tough way to go down.
What I think painful, and maybe it's just because I was more in the prime of my fandom in 2007. Like, 2007, I was shocked. Like, that would be the word I would use, shocked. Like, there's no way this is actually going to happen. And then it did happen. I was like, what? Like, what was that? And then you're on the outside looking in. And you also got beat by a good Phillies team. A team that eventually would go on, you know, to be the world champions a couple of years later, whatever it may be. 2008, sitting in Shea Stadium on that Sunday, watching them come out and celebrate the say goodbye to Shea after they just got eliminated. Like, that to me was painful.
Yep,
maybe it was because I jumped off ship. Maybe it's because I accepted what I believed to be their reality. Maybe it was because it was going on for so long. I don't know what the... It's just embarrassing. With the expanded postseason, to miss the playoffs, like, And there are no clear answers. At least the other part you could say, well, in 2008, maybe they didn't have enough. And maybe that's just the case with this team. They're just not good enough, simply put. I don't understand, though, how you could play like the best team in baseball for 2 months or 2.5 months and then fall apart to the point where you get caught by the Reds. You can't even win 84 ball games.
I don't have that answer. All we could give you is the thoughts. And obviously, people are revved up. And Met fans, beside yourself, we'll get the calls. Obviously, we'll get the Dart later. Yeah. Of course, we'll get to it all, BT and Sal. But I feel like, and I
the
can't,
Giants got
to
be upset today. Like the Mets,
the New York Giants, well, yeah, they're taking away the steam.
If the Mets made the, if the Mets won yesterday, we'd be leading today with the Giants.
Yeah, we would be.
We wouldn't be leading with the Mets or the Yankees. Would be the Giants. So the fact that the Mets are so bad, they got in the way of a rare good day for the Giants. Got to be annoying to the Giants.
That is true. But I'll tell you this, and I feel like, and it's a small sample, whether it's some of my friends or people on social media, which I really don't dive into much after games, a little bit, but just not much. That's not my thing. You know that. I feel like the, in a, like overall in totality, I feel like the Met fan has grown. This is a strong word that I haven't used in a long time to explain a fan base team relationship. I feel like the Met fan has grown to despise this group. I feel like the Met fan can't stand what this group admitted and how they took it laying down. And it's one thing to lose and collapse and have it hurt from a baseball perspective. I honestly feel like most of the Met fans hate this group of players.
Interesting way to put it, because last year, no question, it was a team that the fans can get behind and be proud of, even if they weren't the most talented. This team, obviously, the exact opposite of that. All right, let's hear from you guys. BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires. From Connecticut to Maine, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. 888-808-1019. Nick is in St. Augustine, Florida, starting us off. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up, guys? Hey, Sal, I called about a month ago.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Oh, I was down on the Mets big time. You were still on board with them. Even when they played well in the beginning of the season, I felt like it was a 500 team. They were barely winning games. They weren't hitting. They weren't hitting in the clutch. BT, you're absolutely right. I despised this team almost the whole year. Sal, even you weren't happy with Soto in the beginning, but you knew it wasn't a team that was playing well. And it starts from the top. I know they're not getting rid of Stearns. And even some of the moves that he made at deadline I thought were good. They got to get rid of Mendoza. He is a horrible manager. Obviously, he can't get the guys going. He's not a tactician. He doesn't know really what he's doing out there. They got to take a wrecking ball, but the wrecking ball better swing from the top down. And you know it's got to start with Mendoza. That's it. This team has been embarrassing all year.
Let me ask something. When you say top down, like, who do you think is the biggest culprit for this year's failures?
Honestly, this is the biggest culprit. Mendoza and the bottom half of the lineup. You go five down.
I would disagree. Nick, and thank you for going. We appreciate
that. He's missing the big mark.
Yeah, it's
come
David
on.
Stearns.
Yes.
It's a layup. And they're not going to fire Stearns, you know, in going into year three.
Nor are they
going
to fire Mendoza. Martino had the report last night. He's coming back. Did you have to tell the Met fan 13 minutes after the game he's going to be back?
I know.
I mean, what do we do? That was a little quick. I'm not saying that I'd let him twist in the wind for 3 weeks, but I mean, I've been very critical of Mendoza this year. I'm not saying that I would fire him.
Right.
But, I mean, he could wait 3 hours to see if it's what his fate is. He at least earned that.
And David Stearns is going to speak today. And Martino also in that report said that basically you could expect significant several coaching staff changes, which there should be, like, at the very least. Now, I don't think Mendoza should be fired. I thought he was great last year. I didn't think he was very good this year. And I understand that when you have a season like this to this Mendoza would say it himself. When you underperform to this level.
He did say it. He took it like a big man. He did.
Okay. So, but does that mean you got to make rash decisions and fire him? No, just like I wouldn't fire Stearns. I think Stearns is much more responsible for the... To me, it's Stearns and the players. All of them. Not the bottom half of the order, not the starting... All of them. Lindor, Soto, Alonso, Nimmo, all of them. All of them. Stearns and the team that he put together, the big-time players, I don't care what their numbers say, the team wasn't good enough. Those are more, to me, bigger culprits than the manager.
I agree with that. And again, you know, you like Mendoza more than I do, but I would even agree with that assertion. I think that that's fair. I would bring him back for year three. Year one was good. Year two was bad. Year three splits the difference. Well, if year three's bad, you got it. And if year three is not good enough early, I would get rid of him mid-season. Doesn't have a whole rope next year.
Bingo. So that's enough, because think about it this way. If the Mets played well before they even got to the... Like, there was a chance that they could extend Carlos Mendoza.
Yeah.
And he would have been easy-peasy street. Like, oh, he's going to be here. The manager's not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
This season went so sideways and so bad that now all of a sudden...
Yeah,
he may not be fired now.
I know.
He's going to be in the direct line of fire.
Listen, you get to... When it reaches this level... It does change sensibility. It should. No matter what you thought prior to the last 6-7 weeks, and even if you thought Mendoza had a couple of spotty moments, whether it's the Marte pinch running, pulling guys early, keep him out, with the baseball things that we talked about, nobody thought, really, at the middle of the season, that Mendoza should be fired. But it got so bad, and almost an element of, I don't want to say toxicity, but it just seemed so off that I think everything's in play next year. The one thing that I would disagree with Nick's call, real fast, Sal, is I was kind of buying the early success, because I'm sitting there saying, hold on, the Mets are winning all these games, and Juan Soto hasn't done a damn thing yet. So the easy thing for anybody would be like, unless you're just a hater or a troll, we all knew that Soto would eventually, I don't know if we thought he'd go almost 40-40, but we knew he'd wake up and basically remember that he was Juan Soto, and we all thought, well, when that happens, then the Mets, who are already very good at that point, would be even better. I don't know what the hell happened.
Also, there is a difference between saying, well, the Mets are going to be good to the level of being the best team in baseball or a World Series winning team versus the Mets are going to make the playoffs. Like, even when I was saying they're going to make the playoffs, it was less about them being great or my belief in them being great. It was like, dude, do you know how bad you have to miss the postseason? Think about how bad it is.
Yeah.
The Reds got in on a tiebreaker with 83 wins. Like, that's embarrassingly bad.
The Marlins were still mathematically alive a week ago. Think about that.
Oh, man, my God. So there's two different levels. Larry's in Westchester. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Larry.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
What's good up, man?
Listen, I need a couple of seconds to explain a couple of things. I agree with Sal, which is unusual because we're both Mets fans, but we don't agree all the time. But it has to start from the top down. Stearns is the architect of this. I remember when Cohen bought the team, he said he wanted to model the team after the Dodgers. Consistency. How do you hire Stearns and let him keep getting one-year pitches year after year? Is that a way to be consistent? And all these guys are off of the junk heap to boot. It finally caught up with them. Mendoza, I'm sorry, Sal, he's got to go. He's no manager. And as far as the players go, McNeil, Alonso already said he wanted to opt out. What are we going to go through this every year? I'd say, Pete, I love you, but goodbye and good luck. If you think you can get 4 or 5 years of $30 million or more, go ahead and get it. It's a capitalist society. You're entitled. And Nimmo, I don't care. He's not consistent enough. I think I had, again, BT, what you said about getting a wrecking ball, it has to be done. But Stearns is the culprit with this. I don't know where he came up with, you don't need ace pitchers. That's why the Yankees keep winning. They got Fried. They got Rodon. Imagine if Cole was healthy this year, what they would
have
done.
The Yankees have a lot more than that, though, Larry, and thank you for the call. It's not just about one starting pitcher or two. Like, you could... My philosophy still would be similar in that I would not invest big, BT, high money. It doesn't mean just a blanket statement, never. Like, there are certain guys. We talked about it. Fried would have been the one guy that I thought was worthy of a big investment in the starting rotation. For the Mets, you couldn't ask them to do that this year on top of Juan Soto. So they'll go out there and address. There's no way they would do the same thing again this year. But I don't think Stearns all of a sudden is going to change his entire philosophy and just go throw out $200 million contracts for free agent starting pitchers.
I don't think he's going to change necessarily the DNA of who he is. And I think that would be foolish because you hired him based on how he operates. But if he's got to show growth here and the ability to adapt to the bigger market, and if he doesn't, well then, like Mendoza, if he doesn't get his act together, Stearns will be on the street as well. I don't agree with the term, and I forget the last call. Larry, good call, by the way. He used the term architect. To me, Brian Cashman's the architect of the Yankees. Stearns is not yet the architect of the Mets. Alonso didn't bring him in. McNeil didn't bring him in. Lindor didn't draft Beatty, didn't draft Alvarez, right. Didn't bring Nemo, didn't bring Marte, didn't bring in Diaz. So he's not the architect. That's an unfair.
And even Soto, like, I'm not saying he wouldn't want him, but.
Yeah, that's all Cohen. Yeah, Cohen's money stuff. Yeah, of course. And Alex Cohen, the wife, the family. So to me, it's a really inaccurate representation of what Stearns has done. Now, moving forward, that's going to change. Now he's getting off the tarmac. He's going to get some altitude. It's going to be his flight. And he's got to show, again, the willingness to change and break some methods. It changes methodology a bit. And if he doesn't, then the Mets aren't going to win. He's got to get better, and the Mets have to change a lot.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.